29. Now, I want to read these two verses as a more of a springboard. That's okay. Let me. He's waving at me. Turn it on. That's if I can find it. Where am I doing it? There it is.
Whether you flip the switch or push the button, you go so many different places. They got so many different ways to turn them on. I wish you could turn preaching on that easy. Don't you? All right. John chapter number 7, verses 28 and 29. If you're willing and able, if you would stand with me as we read the Word of God this morning. John chapter number 7, verses 28 and 29. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Father, bless now the reading of your word, and I pray that you'd bless the attempt this morning to deliver that you've given me, and help me that I might say that you have me to say. I pray that you'll get glory unto yourself, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, you may be seated. In verse number 28, it says, Then cried Jesus in the temple. Now, I want to talk to you on this subject, the crying Christ. The crying Christ. This word cry or cried in the Gospels never means weeping or shedding of tears. We're not in this message speaking to the subject of the compassion of Christ, though that will be dealt with perhaps at another time without doubt. Now surely it's almost impossible to speak of him and his work without at least touching somewhat upon the subject. Christ is and always has been and always will be compassionate. He is compassionate. And his compassion is always seen in his ministry. But we're not talking about his weeping. We're not talking about him at the tomb of Lazarus when Jesus wept. We're not talking about that. Now, the word cry can mean to weep or to sob. Certainly it can. But in English, the word cry can have many, many meanings. And that's one of the strange things about the English language. There are so many words that can mean so many things. And we're going to find out that when Jesus cried, at times it meant different things. But here, Jesus cried in the temple. Now, this simply means that he cried aloud, that he lifted his voice. We think sometime about Christ in his meekness, as though he walked around and he just talked in soft tones. Don't we? We think about him being the meek Christ, as he was one who walked around and says, Now y'all ought not do that. Y'all ought to listen to me. You ought to listen to what I'm telling you. But that was not the way Christ was. He, in the temple, he lifted his voice and he cried aloud. Now you say, well, one reason for that, you might say, well, he didn't have microphones. No, he didn't. He didn't have a microphone, and if he wanted the people to hear him, he had to talk loud enough that they could hear him. Well, now that is one reason perhaps for that. But also, he was very, very passionate about what he had to say. I told my son when he entered the ministry some 25 years ago maybe, I told him, I said, son, if you want people to believe what you believe, you're going to have to convince them that you believe it. If you want people to be passionate about what you're passionate about, you're going to have to be passionate about it. And so, I don't know how much he took that to heart, but sometimes he'll get in the pulpit and sometimes he'll shake a leg. And sometimes he'll get a little excited in the pulpit. He'll get to preaching what what he believes, and it'll get a hold of him, and he'll get a little excited about it. And Jesus, when he spoke in the temple, he cried aloud. Now, it's hard for me to preach without getting excited about it. I get excited. Hey, my preaching excites me. It does. And if it don't excite you, I figure that's your problem. I like to preach. I believe what I'm saying. I do. Now, for our consideration today, we're going to look at the crying Christ. Several times throughout the ministry of our Lord, he is said to have cried or that he cried out. Now, some of these incidences may have a view of Christ or some people may have a view of Christ as a weak, mealy-mouthed sissy or effeminate individual. He was anything but that. He was meek, not weak. He was not proud, but he was loud. Jesus was loud. But I don't like loud preaching. You would not have liked Jesus. You hear what I'm telling you? I was preaching in Pineville, Louisiana, just out of Alexandria. And this fellow came to the meeting, and he came to the preacher's house the next day and said, well, I'm not going to be able to come back to the meeting. And the preacher said, why not? That preacher's too loud. He hurts my ears. Well, I already knew a little bit about the guy. I said, where do you work? He said, well, I work over at the airbase. I said, well, where do you work? He said, well, I work on the flight line. I said, what do you do about the noise of those jet airplanes coming in and out? I wear earplugs. I said, wear your earplugs to church. He said, well, wouldn't that embarrass you? I said, wouldn't bother me a bit. He came every night and wore his earplugs. Didn't bother me. He was able to hear the preaching, and he was able to stand the noise, and it didn't bother him. It didn't bother me a bit. Matter of fact, we ate at his house one night. Amen. Now, they didn't give us nothing to eat, but we ate there. Oh, I'm talking about, I'm going to it. Isaiah 58:1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Now, don't you believe that Jesus obeyed his own word? Well, sure he did. He did just exactly what he told Isaiah to write in the Word of God. Well, sure he did. As the Old Testament prophets, he cried aloud. He was passionate as well as compassionate. Whether it was the tomb of Lazarus when he cried out. Now, he did weep. But he cried out to only one person. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He cried with a... Hey, it says it. He cried with a loud voice. Or in the temple to the crowd that was gathered in our text. And by the way, he did cry out, and I'm not a Greek scholar. I don't even know any Greeks. Well, I used to know one. He was a son-in-law of a deacon I had. But that was a long time ago. But I don't even know any Greek. But I like to look words up, and I do it to get definitions. And they sometimes mean the same thing. They're translated properly, but they have different emphasis on them. And they have different Greek words to give a different emphasis. And they'll give the different forcefulness of the word. Now let me give you something about this. He was passionate about regeneration. John 12:44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, but believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He was passionate about that. He cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. In other words, you believe on God the Father. If you believe on me, you believe on God. Now, the rudiments of this, Jesus cried out concerning The rudiments of regeneration, believing on Christ, is believing on the Father. Trusting the sacrifice is trusting the giver of the sacrifice. Faith in Christ is faith in God. Seeing Christ is seeing God. Have I been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. John 14:9. So this is the rudiments of these are the rudiments of regeneration. Believing in Christ is believing on God. If you come to Christ, you are coming to God. If you're coming to God, you're coming to Christ. You can't separate Christ from God. The reasoning behind this, John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus stands and cries aloud, putting to silence the claims of the, I'll use this word, Arminian. Now these are people that believe that you can get it and lose it. They say that those of us that believe that we are in Christ from the foundation of the world and that we have eternal life in Christ from the very beginning, they don't believe that. Now this puts that to, they say that we don't believe that we have been predestined and elected. They say that we don't believe that just anybody can come to Christ. They say we don't believe that. But let's put that to rest, all right? Let's see what Jesus said. Jesus said this. Jesus stands and cries aloud, putting to silence the claims of these Arminians leveled against grace preachers that we don't preach whosoever will may come. Jesus said it clearly, reasoning with the assembled throng. However, there is a caveat included in the cry, the little word if. Jesus made it quite clearly that no man can come to the Father except the Father draw him. He said, whosoever will may come. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But you have to be thirsty. The problem that I find with the world today is that they're not thirsty. Most people are not thirsty. You can preach to them and preach to them and preach to them. You can preach to them until you're blue in the face. You can preach the gospel to them until your nose runs red. You can preach to them and you can bang your head against the wall, jump up and down and scream. You can run up in the aisle. You can jump across pews. You can do whatever you want to do. And they'll sit there and look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. It means absolutely nothing. They are not thirsty. Why? The Father has not drawn them. But if the Father draws them, this is what the Bible says. The Father says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw them, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then, he stated, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you come to Jesus, He'll take you. He'll take you. If you thirst for that living water and you come to Christ, He said, I'll take you freely. If you're thirsty, you come. You come. And He said, I'll take you in. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And that's to any man. That's to anybody. That promise is to anybody that will come. If you want to come, you come. But then notice the rejection. In John 7:28, then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. There's a refutation here or a rejection. There's not so much a denial here of who Jesus is. He says, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. They cannot deny his person. They know there is something different about his manner of life. When sent to arrest the Lord, the officers returned, and their reply was according to John 7:46. The officers answered, never spake man like this man. They could not deny his power. It was evident from the miracles that he was sent from the Father. that he was who he claimed to be, John 14:11, believe on me that I am in the Father and the Father of me, or else believe me for the very word's sake. They could not refute his claims, so they outright rejected him. They plainly stated, we will not have this man to reign over us. Luke 19. And by the way, people still do that today. Well, I don't care what it says. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I just don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. And they're going to live their lives. They're going to die in their sins. They're going to go to hell knowing who Jesus is. Knowing what he has done. Knowing what he has done for you. And they're still going to die in their sins and go to hell. Because they want to live their lives their way, doing their own thing and going their own way. They're going to reject him. Rebellion! Open rebellion in Jesus' day as it is today. Man has gone about to establish his own righteousness. He has devised his own word of God. Now he could buy and sell the sacrifice on the premises of the temple itself. The passion of Christ was aroused. Do you know people today, they've got their own religions? They've got their own churches. They've got Baptist churches where they can go to and they can sing their 7-Eleven songs and they can read their own translations and their own versions and they can make them say what they want them to say and they can get in there and say, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves me. Let's all get together and just have a good time and sing the praises and the glory and all and just live in their sins and just live like they want. And it's just open rebellion against God. No better than Baal worship. It's just like Israel that made themselves golden calves at one end of town and the other end of town and denied the God that made them. Oh yeah, they're singing good songs. They're singing songs that have God in them. There's God in the songs, but no God in the songs. Arouse the passion of Christ. Luke 19:45-46 reads, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer. Ye have made it a den of thieves. Man is to rebel today in devising alternate ways of worship. Even alternate gospel messages, alternate Bibles. But there's still only one way to please God. The songwriter said it well when he said, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But then we see reconciliation. Jesus was passionate about reconciling his people to the Father. This was the one reason he came into the world, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Ephesians 2:14-16, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I find it interesting in studying the word cried is used in the utterances from the cross, depending on the context. It may carry different connotations. You see, we talk about the sayings or the seven sayings of Christ from the cross many times. But do you realize that when Jesus was on the cross, he cried out. He cried from the cross. We're not going to look at all of this, but to cry generally means to raise the voice. Generally, the word simply implies that, or crying aloud, as in Matthew 27:46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried with a loud voice. And we don't draw any particular, anything particular from that other than the fact that he was forsaken of God as he hanged there. Between heaven and earth. He hanged there for your sins and for mine. Had no sins of his own. But he cried out in anguish. Being separated from the Father. And this word, and like I said, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I look words up, and I'm more of an English guy. I understand English a lot better than I do Greek. I don't speak any Greek. I speak a little bit of English, and I don't do it well, but I speak English. And this word in the Greek is different from the word cried that is used in other places in the Gospels as Jesus hanged on the cross. You say, why? Well, just like we use the word cried differently when we say it. But we just spell it the same way. We'll say, well, she cried at the grave. And we say, boy, when he was out there and he was about to step on that snake, she cried out. We use the same word, but we use different emphasis. Well, there are different emphasis here, but in the Greek they use different spellings and different words. But they're giving us a different emphasis of what's going on. And so here we see there's another use in Mark 15:13 where the word cry, it says, here the connotation is most certainly the pain associated with separation from the Father. Look, if you will, in Mark chapter number 15. We're going to turn to these. Mark chapter number 15. And I don't have all these verses written down, but I want to look at them and read them. Mark chapter number 15. And I'm almost through. Don't anybody get too excited. Mark chapter 15 and verse number 34. He says, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, 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 lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now see here, Mark is recording the same saying that Matthew recorded, but he uses a stronger emphasis on the word cried. Here, Mark uses a word that emphasizes that Jesus is crying out in pain, which tells us that Mark understands here that when Jesus cries out and says, Eloi, lama sabachthani, He understands and he realizes as he hears this cry, he recognizes the pain that Christ is feeling. But it also means something else. This word for cry can mean great joy. Christ has fulfilled and done what he came to do.
Amen.
This is an interesting word here. But then in verse number 37, in verse number 37 of the same chapter, and Jesus cried, he cried again with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Well, what did he cry this time? What do we read in other accounts? He cried, it is finished. And this is a cry of dominion. It's a totally different word. This is a word that's not used in the other accounts of the Gospels in relation to this. But it's a word of dominion. It's a word, the word is aphiemi, and I probably didn't pronounce that right. But this is a word that means to send away or to dismiss with authority. In other words, he cried, and it's almost like saying, go away! But it's loudly. It's to cry out! Go! He's dismissing his spirit. Nobody else can do that. You can't do that. I can't do that. But Jesus could. You see, Jesus had said, I have the power to lay down my life. And if I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. Nobody else has that power. And he gave a command. He cried out with a loud voice. And he gave up the ghost. He dismissed his own spirit. A cry of dominion. It's a word that is different from any other way, other ways cried is used. Now there are other, this word is used throughout the New Testament in other ways, but it's rendered cried only this one time. It's an intense word, a command that his spirit departs to the Father. In considering his passion for reconciliation, and then considering that this is the primary purpose for his coming into the world, that is to satisfy the just demand of a holy God for the payment for sin that reconciliation might be provided, how passionate should we be for the same? We should be stirred up about the condition of our families, our friends, our co-workers, our acquaintances. It should be more than just an occasional thought about whether they know the Lord. Jesus was so passionate about these things we have talked about that he cried aloud to get folks' attention. His passion was fueled by a compassion that carried him to a hillside outside Jerusalem. For he fulfilled this. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now let me bring one more thing to mind. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21, that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are his representatives. His heavenly spokesman on earth. Revealing what he has provided for those who will trust him. Ambassadors. We have his word. This means we have his authority. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Adjudication is preached. The only hope is in Christ. We can't save this city. You can't save this city. You can't save this county. But we should stand before our Lord with our hands clean of their blood. Paul said in Acts 20:26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. We have his authority, as though God did beseech you by us, the crying Christ. He was passionate. Seems the thing that believers are passionate about today are carnal. Football, hunting, shopping, and so on. These things are not in and of themselves wrong, but we are in that day the scripture speaks of when men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Where's our passion for those things for which Christ was passionate? He was passionate enough that he cried aloud. He was indeed the crying Christ. He cried out. He cried aloud. Lord, help me not to keep silent. Help me to cry aloud and keep on keeping on. Father, thank you for your word. Touch hearts, I pray, do that that only you can do, and we will give you the glory, for you alone are worthy. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Mike.